Joining me right now here on the Knock On Sports is my good friend Joe Lisi from GoForTheTwo.com to talk about college football. Joe, how you doing today, buddy?
Doing well, Anthony. Looking forward to a great week number 7 of the college football season. Doesn't get better than this.
It does not, even though I would say week 6 had full of upsets and full of its surprises for sure.
Oh, without a doubt. But that's what makes college football great, is that the unpredictability about this great sport. There is parity in the game, and that's why we watch each and every Saturday.
No, absolutely. And, Joe, you mentioned this last week when I talked to you. You said the same thing, parity. You said any team could go down, and we saw a couple of them that were in the top 10 and top 5 that went down. And let's start with probably the biggest one, I think, was Oklahoma losing to Iowa State in the backup quarterback.
Yeah, that was an intriguing matchup with Iowa State and Matt Campbell. I actually liked Iowa State to play that game very close to Oklahoma in that matchup. They lost 34-24 last year in Ames. They were within striking distance every step of the way, and their starting quarterback, Jacob Park, did not travel with the team late Friday. He's been dismissed for personal reasons, but this was a team in Iowa State that entered this game giving up only 115 rushing yards on the ground. They played Texas very well on that Thursday night, losing 17-7. And more importantly, though, you look at Oklahoma coming out of a bye week with an extra week to prepare, a couple days in Iowa State, a young head coach in Lincoln Riley. I think Iowa State clearly attacked that Oklahoma secondary, and Kyle Kemp, 343 total yards through the air. I mean, just a dominating performance.
Joe, do you feel like Iowa State now just gave everyone else the blueprint to beat Oklahoma?
Well, I think that the weakness of Oklahoma the last couple of years now has been the secondary. Last year, they gave up 269 total yards through the air. At one point in the season, they were ranked 127th out of 128 teams in FBS. So I think the way you have to challenge Oklahoma is vertically. You have to stretch them. But Iowa State had the type of personnel, guys like Alan Lazard, running back David Montgomery, to really utilize that as well. And Montgomery was utilizing the short to intermediate passing game. Again, I think it's also a psychological factor, Anthony. They went in there into Norman thinking that they can knock off Oklahoma. And to me, that's half the battle. When you see teams play Alabama, Clemson, even Oklahoma in the Big 12, they're defeated. They expect to lose before they even step out onto the field. And I think that teams that expect to win usually play very well on any given Saturday.
No, absolutely. And now for Oklahoma, Joe. Does this take, and it doesn't necessarily take them out of the conversation for the college football playoff, but how much of this does it damage them? Because I don't think they have a real ranked opponent besides maybe TCU, and they'd have to get a win over TCU to possibly get back in the conversation.
Yeah, it's going to be an uphill battle for the Big 12 overall. I mean, I think if you're a Big 12 supporter, you want to see a team like TCU run the table. Unfortunately, Mason Rudolph and Oklahoma State lost to TCU. West Virginia did as well. Those are the remaining opponents on Oklahoma's schedule. Again, or you need Ohio State to win out or possibly win the Big 10 somehow, some way. I don't think they could do it. I still think Penn State's clearly the best team in the Big 10, but that's what they need. I mean, they're going to need some of these teams in the top 5 to fall within recent weeks. I think it could happen. I think you look at a team like Clemson last year that lost at the end of the year to a team in Pittsburgh in November. Anything could happen. Alabama does face LSU and Auburn later in the year. So to expect teams to just run the table, I don't think you could do that. But Oklahoma, in order to get back into this playoff race, is going to need some help from the others in the top 5.
Joe, let's talk about the Big Ten for a second. Let's talk about the game where Michigan lost to Michigan State. A lot of people peg, probably, I'd say Michigan is the team to the most likely take down Penn State. Do you think they still can, and how much does this hurt Michigan's chances?
Yeah, it does. I mean, from a defensive perspective, they played very well. I mean, they lost 3 of the last 5 to Michigan State entering that game by 17 points per game. Entering that matchup, they were holding opposing offenses to 69 rushing yards on the ground, and more importantly, holding opposing offenses to 19% on third down conversions. But Michigan State, that was -4 in turnover margin entering that matchup, created turnovers against the Wolverines. There were five turnovers. They won and were able to score off those turnovers. That's why the Spartans pulled off the victory on Saturday night. In order for Michigan to get the victory over Penn State and, more importantly, over Ohio State later in the year, they're going to need to create turnovers and, more importantly, run the football consistently. Then when you look at Michigan last year, the games that they lost, they failed to rush for over 100 yards, and they allowed over 100 yards in three games to Iowa, Ohio State, and Florida State. That seems to be the MO this year as well. Michigan State with a dominating offensive performance. So in order for Michigan to make some strides in the Big Ten, they're going to have to create turnovers and shut down the run consistently.
Joe, NC State, let's go to the ACC for a second. They pick up a win over Louisville. They've already beaten Florida State. How much are you buying NC State right now, and do you think they're a team that could challenge Clemson?
Well, I picked them at 9-3 at the start of the year, and they're playing very well right now. The one thing about NC State is their quarterback, Ryan Finley, that hasn't turned the football over. He's got an H-back in Jalen Samuels that could be utilized in five sweeps and, more importantly, different types of formations to create one-on-one matchups for opposing defenses. I think when you look at NC State overall, I think they have a tough ball game against Pittsburgh in Heinz Field. This isn't an easy place to play, so that could be possibly a trap game. But should they get through this game this coming Saturday, they should match up very well against Clemson. You're talking about a team in the NC State last year that should have beaten Clemson. They missed a field goal in the closing minutes and lost that ball game in overtime by 7 points. They expect to win as well. Their defensive front seven, led by defensive end Bradley Chubb, one of the best in the country. So as long as they can make Clemson one-dimensional, they have a very good chance to win that ballgame. But I still feel the Clemson Tigers are the best team in college football.
My featured guest is Joe Lisi from GoForTheTooth.com as we are talking college football in the top 25. And Joe, looking ahead to this week, there's a couple of good ones. Auburn and LSU, let's start in the SEC. That looks like to be a very good game. LSU seems to have gotten back on track, but Joe, for me, I'm just not buying it, even though they did beat Florida by a one-point victory. It was just two anemic offenses playing. Auburn looks like they have a much better offense right now.
Yeah, they seem to be clicking. Jarrett Stidham and the crew got a dominating victory over Ole Miss this past weekend, 44-23. But this is a huge rivalry game, Anthony. Going back to the days of 1988, the earthquake game in Baton Rouge. Now, this game won't be played under the lights. It's a 3:30 kick. But that being said, I was very impressed from a defensive perspective by the LSU Tigers last week. Danny Etling got more involved, and Matt Canada was more aggressive on first and second down in terms of his play calling. I've heard a lot of people say this about Auburn, that they're buying in. I'm not buying into Auburn just yet. I like the way LSU played, and I think LSU gets the upset this coming Saturday. I know Jarrett Stidham looks good in the system, but I think from an offensive perspective, as long as Danny Etling could challenge that secondary by Auburn and Matt Canada could be more aggressive on first and second down, I think this is a potential trap game for the Auburn Tigers. I think LSU gets their back-to-back victories in the SEC. Now, I'm calling for the upset. I think LSU wins this ballgame.
Swinging over to back to the Big 12 with the Red River rivalry this weekend as well, Oklahoma versus Texas. Oklahoma coming off the loss to Iowa State. Texas, what do you see for them? What do you see in this game?
Well, I think right now from an emotional aspect, where is Oklahoma? Not just from a team perspective, but from their young head coach, Lincoln Riley. I think that's the one thing that you have to keep in mind, is that Lincoln Riley is a first-year head coach. So expecting Oklahoma to just bounce back right away immediately, from a player's perspective, possibly, but it's the coaching aspect that I have concerns about. And on the flip side, you look at Texas, the way they're playing, not only on a defensive perspective, but on the offensive line. I've been very impressed, along with their quarterback, Sam Ellinger. I mean, the way he moved the football against Kansas State, he looks poised, he looks confident. And Tom Herman's a big game head coach. He understands this rivalry. You're talking about a Texas defense that's playing lights out, especially in third down conversions this year. Malik Jefferson, their starting linebacker, is having an All-American type of season. I love the way this defense is playing, especially in man-to-man coverage in terms of secondary play. I'm calling for the upset here. I like Texas to knock off Oklahoma in the Red River rivalry.
Couple upsets already. This is going to be great. This is what I love about college football, especially this time of year. Always seems to have a couple upsets right now. Joe, One aspect I do want to talk to you about is that, you know, usually Florida, it's the Gators and the Seminoles and Miami. Miami's looking okay right now, but those two teams look like they're going to have a down year. And right now it looks like the state of Florida could be well represented by UCF and USF. Now, they're outside the Power Five. Both teams are undefeated as far as I can remember right now. Both teams are ranked. Do you think either one of them or any other team that's in the top 25 right now that's undefeated outside the Power Five has a chance to get into the college football playoff?
I think out of those two, I would say probably not due to a schedule perspective. And that's not to take away from what Scott Frost and Mackenzie Milton, their quarterback, have done in terms of this season. They're undefeated. They dominated Cincinnati again on the road for another dominating win. They knocked off Maryland 2 weeks ago in dominating fashion. I just don't think they have the type of schedule to crack the college football playoff. You look at South Florida, they dominated Illinois. They dominated a team in Temple. But outside of that, where are the quality wins going to come to allow Charlie Strong and their quarterback, Quentin Flowers, to really crack the college football playoff? I just don't see it. I think both of those teams could be like Western Michigan, with possibly Western Michigan going to the Cotton Bowl last year, facing Wisconsin from a schedule perspective. And that is not to take away from the job that both of those coaches and programs have done. I will say this, though, a team that possibly can crack the college football playoff that has the type of schedule that can get them involved is San Diego State. They have a big play running back in terms of Rashad Penny. Rocky Long's a very underrated head coach. Got another quality win against UNLV, but you look at their out-of-conference schedule. Anthony, they knocked off two Pac-12 opponents in Arizona State. They won that game by 10 points. And Stanford, that's the type of resume that could possibly propel San Diego State into the college football playoff. Now, they're going to need some help from some of the other Power 5 schools losing in the top five, but if that were to happen, I would say San Diego State has the best chance out of all three of those teams to crack the college football playoff in 2017.
My featured guest is Joe Lisi from GoForTheTwo.com, covering college football. Joe, if they want to follow your work, how can they do it?
Yeah, they can go to my website, GoForTheTwo.com, or follow me on Twitter, at GoForTheTwo. They can follow my television and radio show every Saturday morning, Anthony, 9 to 12 Eastern, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific on Fantasy Sports Radio and Television Network, or you can go to Dish Channel 262 and check it out.
Always fun. Make sure you check out Joe's work. Does a great job, especially on those mornings as well. Guys, Joe, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it, and look forward to talking again soon, my friend.
Anytime, Anthony. Love the show.